2-2. And a called strike three, and the ball game is over. And the Arizona Diamondbacks have forced a game seven, a convincing victory. Marte with a couple of RBIs, a 5-1 final, a three-run second inning. Tommy Pham got it jump started, returning to the lineup. He homered in that second, then Gurriel homered right after him. This is going to be just the fourth time that both league championship series go seven games.
Grounder to second. 2 years removed from losing 100, the Rangers have won the pennant.
And there will be a new World Series champion in Major League Baseball. That's because the Texas Rangers bounced the defending World Series champion Houston Astros in Houston, a series that was interesting to say the least. They tied for the division title. Astros had the tiebreaker, thus got home field advantage, and actually that was a bad thing. Every single game was won by the road team. The Rangers win Game 7 on the road in Houston last night, 11-4. They're in the World Series for the first time since 2011. Three runs in the top of the first. Christian Javier only made it through one out, one-third of an inning for the Astros. You got a quick hook when you get in Game 7s. Jordan Montgomery, on 2 days rest, came in relief, pitched 2 1/3 scoreless innings. Bruce Bochy's the manager of the Rangers. He did that to the Royals in Game 7 and 14. I'll never forget that. Branson Madison Bumgarner, who threw 5 innings out of the bullpen and closed the game on just a few days' rest when people said, no, there's no way you can come back and do this or do that. I'm like, oh, yeah, I probably can. And he did, but the Royals then got the last laugh the next year in regards to winning a World Series, so that was good. But Jordan Montgomery did a great job out of the pen. Max Scherzer had a short outing as he had a quick hook on him as well. Adolis Garcia, 4-for-5, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. He was ALCS MVP, 5 homers, MLB record for most RBIs in a postseason series at 15, and the road team won every game in the series as the Rangers win it 11-4. The Rangers 8-0 on the road this postseason. So normally you'd be excited about hosting the World Series, but now because the Rangers will have home field advantage in the World Series, no matter who it is, the D-backs or the Phillies. The Rangers tied the 96 Yankees for the longest road winning streak to begin a single postseason. But if the Rangers are going to win the World Series, they're going to have to win a home game. That's a fact, because 4 of the 7 are at home. They win 3 road games. That's not enough to win the series. The Rangers going to the World Series for the third time in franchise history. Astros headed home for the winner. Houston, this is pretty amazing stuff. For a great, great team that they are, great organization. Yes, you can say they cheated there back in the day. They went 7-22. In their final 29 home games, including being swept by the Kansas City Royals in late September. 7-22 in home games. And yet, they were just one win away from still making the World Series. It just doesn't make sense. The NLCS, Merrill Kelly got the win on the mound for Arizona. 5 innings, gave up 1 run on 3 hits. Aaron Nola suffered his first loss of the postseason. He gave up 4 runs on 6 hits and 4 1/3. I thought the Phillies would sweep the D-backs, and I thought the Phillies would easily win last night. I've been wrong on both accounts. Luckily, I didn't bet on that one last night. The NLCS decided tonight Philadelphia Ranger Suarez starts for the Phillies against Brandon Pfaadt of the D-backs. First pitch 7:07 tonight on TBS. Both starters will have a very short leash. Game 1 of the World Series will be Friday in Texas. Wouldn't that be appropriate if Ranger Suarez helps put the Phillies into the World Series against the Rangers?
Rangers, yeah.
It's possible. Suarez is a good pitcher, so and Pfaadt's been really good here in the playoffs as well. So Rangers and D-backs, can you imagine? Just exactly what everybody picked, right? An 84-win wildcard team versus a 90-win wildcard team that tied for the division but faltered down the stretch. And you have to say this about the Texas Rangers. This is what makes great teams, because the Rangers have been written off multiple times this year. Mm-hmm. The Rangers had a stretch where they were 4-16 when they led the division all year long. Then at the very end, all they had to do is win one of their last, I think, they had to win 2 out of 4 against the Mariners, and they lost their last couple. And they lost the division. So thus, instead of getting a first round bye, they had to go over to Tampa, play a 99-win team and a best 2 out of 3, but it was all going to be in Tampa. So they gave up all their home field advantage. They won both those games. Then they got to go to Baltimore. They win the first two there. Then they win game 3. They sweep the Orioles there in Texas. Then against Houston, they're up 2-0. They lose the next 3 games at home, so they got to go back to Houston. But game 5, they're up 4-2 in the ninth, just a couple of outs away from taking the 3-2 lead. and they blow it. Altuve hits a three-run shot, and you're thinking, there's no way the Rangers can recover from that. And all they do is go back to Houston, win Game 6, and then Game 7, they blow them out. I mean, you got to give the Rangers a lot of credit for having a short memory and bouncing back and not letting that be a hangover, because that could easily happen with their long losing streak there late in the season, what they did the final week of the season. A lot of people wrote them off. A lot of people said the Rays were going to beat them in two. And then, boom, here they are, and they lose Game 5 to Houston, a blow a 2-0 series lead, and they come back and they win every game on the road in Houston. It's pretty amazing stuff, and they've earned their right to be in the World Series. There's no question about it, and they have never won the World Series. Never.
Yeah, somebody was telling me they're pulling for the Phillies. I'm like, I'm going for the Rangers because they've never won the World Series yet. So it's, that's I didn't think they were going to get out of the wild card after the way they finished their regular season.
Yeah.
And they did that and then got out of the division series and then got out of the ALCS. So, they've had their backs against the wall plenty of times this year, but always seem to come out the right way.
The D-backs won the World Series before when they beat the Yankees behind Schilling and Johnson. The Phillies have won the World Series a few times, but the Rangers had that horrible, like, they were so close to winning a World Series against the Cardinals, and David Freese ruined it all.
Mm-hmm.
They had Nelson Cruz playing right field that hurt them defensively, and so maybe the Rangers will get it done this year. We shall see. But they will host, we know that, against either the Phillies or D-backs. Who you got tonight, Game 7? I'm going to keep riding the Philly bandwagon. I'm cheering for the D-backs, but I'm going to take the Phillies. I mean, the pressure's on the Phillies, in my opinion, though, because the D-backs are playing with house money.
I think the Phillies are going to win.
Which means, you and I both said the Phillies, that means D-backs. I like it. Good reverse psychology. I want that. I want D-backs Rangers, because I think that gives the Rangers the best shot. I don't know if Isbell's still working for the D-backs, Pat Isbell's son.
Yeah, that I'm not sure
I don't know
about.
If he still is, but I know he did there for a long time working with the D-backs. And so if that's the case, you know, I definitely, even more so, I want the D-backs to make it to the World Series. And then whoever wins it, wins it. I mean, I just kind of, you know, I think of how I would feel if I was a Ranger fan and we were so close and blew it. And back in 2011, back-to-back years, we went, didn't win it. Maybe this year we get it done. D-backs at least have had a World Series. I say this, and I'm a Chiefs fan, and I want to be greedy and win a Super Bowl every year. So I play on both sides of the fence, there's no doubt. Brought to you by The Sports Ticket, Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Okay, coming up, we're going to have some Chiefs news, some bad news on two fronts, some good news in other fronts. Monday Night Football last night was a really good game, a bit of a surprise in that one as well. But we want to go next to high school sports, where, Dusty, we've got a very busy week of activity. Where do you want to start? Locker room chats tomorrow and Thursday? We'll let people know about that. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, we can start there. Yeah, locker room chats, as we'll have the final, or well, not final. We'll have one more after the ninth week of the season, too. But we will have locker room chats tomorrow at 5:15 normal time with head coaches of Beloit, Osborne Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge. And then Thursday, since we will have high school football coverage Thursday an hour earlier, and a day earlier, we will move up our locker room chats to 4:30 on Katy Country 94, and then should be out by 5 to have normal 5 o'clock news block and everything like that, and get into pregame at 5:30 with the playoff game between Lakeside and Hanover on Katy Country 94 on Thursday night. So pregame 5:30, kickoff 6 o'clock there for that one. So that kind of covers the Wednesday-Thursday portion of what we're doing here this week. And then we've got a lot of coverage coming up on Friday, state volleyball as well as high school football. So I'll be listening for that, state volleyball in the morning, approximately 9:15, 11:30, and then 1:30 with Beloit pool play matches at the 3A state tournament from Hutchinson. And then in the afternoon on Katy Country 94, we have 2A state volleyball with Smith Center, approximately 4:15, and then into the evening at around 6:30, 8:30 would be the next two matches. So those are the approximate start times for all that coming up in 2A state volleyball. And then we have football again on Friday night with the Beloit Trojans hosting Lakin in the first round of the 2A playoffs. So pregame coverage normal time on Friday at 6:30, kickoff at 7 on Z96 Point through the Lake on Friday. So a lot of stuff coming up here on our stations this week. You know, you can find the full...
Well, let's stop you.
Okay.
We got 1A Division 2 state volleyball from
Division
Emporia.
1A Division 2 on Z96.3 from Emporia, which I messed up my time-wise on the St. John's Tipton volleyball team at 10:45 would be their first match, and then at 1 o'clock approximately, and then approximately 3 o'clock. Those, again, are all approximate times because none of our teams are playing the first match of the day at state volleyball. So that's 182 at Emporia on Z96 Point through the lake. You can listen to all this as well online at katycountry94.com, and we'll have everything there for you on Thursday and Friday with all of that coverage. So again, everything else you need to know, state brackets for volleyball, state cross-country qualifiers from the area, state football playoff brackets, it's all at ncksports.com.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, we should be fine because that 7 o'clock game, Lake and Beloit, pregame at 6:30, but every once in a while sometimes. But the difference is 1A Division 2 starts in the morning, but the afternoon session sometimes can go all the way to almost midnight. I had that happen one year out of Hayes. I mean, a whole bunch of three-set matches. But we should be good to go there time-wise with all of that. So let's see. Let me try and do the math here. We're going to have 3, 6, 9. We possibly will have 15 volleyball matches and 2 football playoff games with a staff of 2 people, plus John Bowden's going to help us. As he says, 2.5 men is what we are, 2.5 team. So we appreciate John. I was talking with him last night. He's excited about doing this, and he's never done, I think, radio play-by-play volleyball before, but we'll help him, we'll train him, we'll give him the crash course. And
I tell you what, if he doesn't know the terms, he probably wasn't a good coach.
Or referee. He refs volleyball
too,
now.
Yeah.
He should know the terminology. Yeah. It's just a matter of, you know, getting the names and describing it because play-by-play and all that. So we look forward to John helping out. He may have another Bowden helping him, too, so that's all good. And we appreciate John with all his help. And we look forward to having St. John's Tipton on the radio as well on Z96.3 Lake on Friday and hopefully Saturday. Now, if for some reason we don't have a team playing on Z96.3 Lake on Saturday in volleyball, we will have the KU-Oklahoma game. But if St. John's Tipton is playing Saturday, then KUOU will get booted because local comes first here. So sorry, Jayhawk fans, but that's just the way we roll here. Don't like it, buy the stations, run it yourself. And then the Chiefs-Broncos on Sunday. Now, that's when you and I can sleep till 1:59 p.m. and then watch the Chiefs at, well, actually, we can sleep all the way to 3:24 p.m. because the kickoff's 3:25.
There we go.
Yeah, Chiefs play Broncos second time in 3 weeks, which I don't like that at all. But
not a fan either. At least it's not a really good team you're playing two times in 3 weeks, I guess. But
that's true. There's no good team in the AFC West, except the Chiefs, of course. So that's our schedule, and I'll have Dusty post that. I get that information to you. So if you could make that a story on ncksports.com, whatever else you got to do, tag it, put it on there, throw all of our social media, tag me. This is us doing our work together here over the air. And then also link it to the KD Country 94 website or vice versa. That would be awesome so we can get the word out to everybody about what we're doing. There is no live video stream of state volleyball. Not allowed to do that. Keisha has an exclusive contract with NFHS, so we're not allowed to do that. I do see there's a company that's doing state volleyball for 3A, 4A, and it's not NFHS, which is good. And so I think that part will be better. But we want you to listen to the radio, but better yet, we want you to be there in Hutch, in Dodge, and in Emporia watching these teams and competing for state championships. All right, let's see. Coming up. Oh, wait a minute. A couple notes here. Did you know that the Nebraska Cornhusker volleyball team is the number one team in the land now?
I did.
They are 19-0. They beat number one Wisconsin the other night. So Nebraska volleyball, they are a volleyball school. We all know this now. Not football anymore. Although the football team has a winning record, they are 4-3. Things are turning around for the Husker football program. But the Husker volleyball team, speaking of volleyball, since we've been talking high school state volleyball, Husker volleyball team number one in the country at 19-0. Coming up in 30 seconds, a really good Monday night football game last night.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When your vehicle has a problem or needs maintenance, Kiever Brothers is your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Whether you need tires, brakes, batteries, belts, hoses, air conditioning, a transmission, engine, or just an oil change, there's only one thing you need to remember. We fix everything. Kiever Brothers Automotive delivers fast, friendly auto repair, and we fix everything. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieferBrothers.com.
Blitz off the edge. Cousins throws, and it's taken away by Addison for the touchdown.
That was an insane play. We were watching this last night. The Vikings are very smart. They called timeouts when the Niners were close to scoring before halftime to make it a 10-7 game. Vikings used their timeouts. They had 16 seconds left, and they were just talking, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, on Monday Night Football last night on ESPN. This game was in Minnesota, Niners and Vikings, that, you know, maybe with 16 seconds, you can take a shot down the middle of the field, and you can hurry up and spike it, and you can be in field goal range. So you might have time to play the middle of the field. And that's exactly what Kirk Cousins did. He threw a pass, and Tre'Davious Ward, the former Chief, he's a corner for the Niners, had the interception, it appeared, jumped in front, but Addison ripped it away and then just turned, and Ward fell down, and he had nobody in front of him to run the last 30 yards for a touchdown. That was a pretty big play in the game, even though they did miss the pending extra point. But the Niners, after everybody anointed them the kings of the world, have now lost two in a row. Brock Purdy looks like a seventh-round draft pick the last few weeks a little bit. He threw a couple picks last night, including the one that ended the game. And Jordan Addison, in place of Justin Jefferson, had a big night for the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, who they say can't win primetime games, won a primetime game last night, and he was terrific. Threw for 378 yards and a couple touchdowns. And the Niners are now 5-2. No Deebo Samuel, but Christian McCaffrey did play last night. And the Vikings now have won a couple in a row. They're 3-4, and maybe have turned around their season. So it was a really good football game last night. And the Vikings get the win by a final of 22-17. Some Chiefs news for you. You want me to start with the good or the bad?
Get the bad out of the way.
All right. So here's the bad news. Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton will need surgery to repair a dislocated wrist he suffered in the Charger game on Sunday. He's expected to miss 6 weeks or maybe more. He could possibly return for the final three games of the regular season. Drew Tranquil will likely start in Bolton's absence. Bolton missed three games due to an ankle sprain, and Tranquil played very well. And thank the heavens, Brett Veach and the Chiefs. Andy Reid did a really good sell job, for what I understand, trying to convince Drew Tranquil to, you know, leave the Chargers, because he was a free agent, so he could have gone with anybody. And he chose the Chiefs. And he was a captain against the Chargers, had a big sack late in the game. And he's played very well in Bolton's absence. And Steve Spagnuolo said, the guy's terrific because he knows how to play all three linebacker spots. And that's not easy to do. We heard Chris Kleiman say over the weekend, after the game the other day, that Jay Clifton did a great job at linebacker because he's had to learn three different linebacker positions the last 3 weeks. He's played a different linebacker by each of the 3 weeks because of the injuries for K-State. And a lot of people, the regular lay football fan or sports fan, they have no idea how difficult it is to move from one spot to another on a football field. It is more than you think. And so where would the Chiefs be if Drew Tranquil wasn't here? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what the option would be. And then granted, if he gets hurt, then we go to that next option. But that has allowed the Chiefs to keep on ticking defensively despite missing their best linebacker the last couple of years, who had 180 tackles a year ago, Nick Bolton. So Nick Bolton hit by the injury bug this year, and hopefully he'll be back for the stretch run. So that's the first part of the bad news. You want the other part of the bad news, or you want me to jump to good news?
Let's just get it.
Just get it going? Yeah. All right. The other part of the bad news is Chiefs wide receiver Justin Ross was arrested yesterday in Shawnee, Kansas. He's facing a felony charge of criminal damage. It was reported more than $25,000, but now they say it's between $1,000 and $25,000, which makes things a little bit less serious. According to a booking report from the Sheriff's Office of Johnson County, he was booked in the Johnson County Jail. The booking report does not provide any details or indicate whether bond was set. Court date for today is listed on the Johnson County Sheriff's website. The Chiefs are aware of the arrest but had no comment. Justin Ross is 23 years of age, joined the Chiefs last season as undrafted free agent out of Clemson. Didn't play last year due to injuries. He played in all 7 Chiefs games this year, and he has a whopping 3 catches for 34 yards. So this is something to follow here. Is Justin Ross, are you going to be in big trouble? Will the Chiefs just decide, you know what, we're done, we're going to cut him? I doubt it, because they've invested a lot of time in this guy, and if they didn't think he was going to be a really good player, I don't think they would have invested that much time. He's 23, he's tall, he's lanky, he can go up and get the ball. He just hasn't been able to fit in quite yet, but he's been getting a few more snaps each and every week. And remember, Willie Gay was suspended for something similar. It seems to, or appears on the surface there, that there was a domestic argument, and then apparently you lose your temper and then you destroy property. That's pretty much. Mm-hmm. What was it? The vacuum cleaner? Was that what it was for Willie Gay last year?
Yeah,
that's what
I think
talking
so.
Talking about,
yeah.
He destroyed a vacuum cleaner and whatever,
yeah.
And he got suspended. By the way, it was people were talking about how much he got suspended for a vacuum cleaner, and Deshaun Watson got 11 games, yeah, for all the things he did. But so we'll see if Justin Ross gets suspended by the NFL at some point, and then also will the Chiefs cut bait with Justin Ross because of this, or will they just go ahead and move forward? I would guess they'll move forward, but We shall see how that plays out. Now, you ready for the good news?
Absolutely.
All right, the good news. Patrick Mahomes' last three football games. Because remember, Mahomes, the season's not been so good. You know, Mahomes is playing with a whole bunch of jerks that are horrible off the street at wide receiver. That's what I've been told. Mahomes' last three games with those horrible wide receivers, his last three games, 32 of 42 for 76%, 30 of 40 for 75%, 31 of 41 for 76%. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to complete 75% of his passes three games in a row with 40 attempts each game. He's the first quarterback in NFL history to complete 75% of his passes three games in a row when he had 30 completions in each game. So, just more numbers to show that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Here's another interesting nugget. Rashee Rice. 5 catches, 60 yards, a touchdown against the Chargers on Sunday. Quentin Johnston, 7 catches, 64 yards, no touchdowns. On the season. Let me repeat this. Quentin Johnston was a person that a lot of Chiefs fans wanted them to draft in the first round. And when he went ahead of the Chiefs, picked by the Chargers, I liked him as well. He was great at TCU. I saw it in person against KU, Torch KU, when game day was there last year. And I thought he'd be a good tall receiver for the Chiefs to have, but really Justin Ross maybe could fill that void, perhaps. And Quentin Johnston only has 4 more catches than Justin Ross. Quentin Johnston, the rookie, 7 catches, 64 yards. Remember, Mike Williams is out for, I think, the season, so there should be an opportunity for this kid. He must not be grasping the playbook or anything else. But Quentin Johnston's a first-round pick. 7 catches, 64 yards, and a lot of Chiefs fans wanted him, and they're all upset when they didn't get him. Rashee Rice, the second-round pick, 5 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown in Sunday's game alone. So it should be pointed out that Johnston was drafted a full round ahead of Rashee Rice. And then Rice did that against the Chargers, and Johnston, I think, had 1 catch against the Chiefs. Perhaps the Chiefs got it right again. Shocking. Shocking that the Chiefs would get it right. Once again, that's why you don't have the fans in charge of draft day.
Yes.
They don't need to be in charge.
No. And there's
otherwise, we'd have like 18 different wide receivers.
We would never draft a defensive player except for maybe a defensive end or linebacker every now and then because we need an edge rusher, right?
Yeah. We'd have a bunch of pass rushers, no interior linemen. We'd have no offensive line, and we'd have a whole bunch of wide receivers and some running backs. And then we'd go get, you know, Cam Newton to be our backup. That's what the fans want. So, a couple of interesting notes there for the Chiefs. What else do I have on the list? Oh, yes. Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. He won't have to worry about any financial security for quite some time, if ever. And he shouldn't have to worry about it. He has agreed to a 3-year, $186 million extension. The deal includes a player option for 27-28, keeps him in Milwaukee through at least 2025. Would cover the duration of new teammate Damian Lillard's contract. Giannis has spent his entire 10-year career with the Milwaukee Bucks, and now he gets a 3-year, $186 million extension. So Giannis is set, you would think, for life financially. At least you would hope so. KU football coach Lance Leipold said that Jalen Daniels is improving and making progress with his injury, but it is still likely that Jason Bean will be the starter for KU's game against Oklahoma coming up on Saturday. Kickoff at 11 o'clock, and so there you go. Jason, if you're going to beat the Sooners, it's going to be with Jason Bean, not Jalen Daniels. I know a lot of people, including me, thought or hoped that Jalen Daniels would be back for the OU game. I don't know when he's going to be back. It's really an odd, weird, unique injury for a kid that's 20. So I don't know. You just can't. I'll say this. If you're a KU football fan, I think you have to brace yourself to say that Jalen Daniels will not play again this year. I'm not saying he won't. I'm just saying I think you got to brace yourself and at least consider that possibility. That he might not play the rest of the year. And if he does, I don't know how much he's going to play. And so you've, what's he played? 3 games, I think, Jalen Daniels this year? He missed the first game. He's missed the last few. So Jason Bean is the guy, and he can't get hurt. He gets hurt, you go to a redshirt freshman? That's not going to be good. So big game for KU coming up this weekend, at home against Oklahoma, then at Iowa State, host Texas Tech. I mean, those games are certainly winnable. So, you know, I think they can win Iowa State, Texas Tech without Jalen Daniels. I don't know if they can beat Oklahoma without Jalen Daniels. That's just my two cents. And then K-State at home on November 18th. I don't know if they can beat K-State with Jason Bean either. And at Cincinnati, I think they can win that one. And that's what we talked about a few weeks ago prior to the Texas game is, you know, if you were right after the Texas game, you should be able to beat Central Florida and Oklahoma State with Jason Bean. Well, you didn't beat Oklahoma State. Should have, but tons of mistakes by a whole bunch of different people, including Jason Bean. And now, can you get that win back or get that loss back, I guess, in regards to if you beat Oklahoma? I don't know. I don't know. It'll be interesting, no doubt about it. Should be an entertaining game, 11 o'clock coming up this Saturday. And we'll focus on K-State tomorrow with K-State in Focus, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric in Beloit, coming up tomorrow morning on the Sports Ticket. I want to give a shout-out to a couple of sponsors of ours. With everything going on this week, with all the volleyball we got going on, and we're traveling left and right and going back and forth between locations and so forth and so on, we will not have a Football Express preview show because there's games on Thursday, there's games on Friday. We just don't have the time to do it with everything going on this week. Also, the scoreboard show, our local high school scoreboard show, we will not have one of those this week. So that puts a wrap on those two shows for this year. But we want to thank Cunningham Telephone Cable. They have been a sponsor of the Football Express, previewing all the matchups before the games start at 5:40 every Friday night. We appreciate Cunningham. They've been the title sponsor of that show from the very inception of when we began the idea of the show and started the show years ago. And hopefully people appreciate that show, and we appreciate Cunningham Telephone Cable. And then a huge shout-out to State Farm Insurance, Marty Walters, agent in Osborne, Kevin Hewitt, and Beloit. They've been the sponsor of our local high school school board show from the very beginning. They've been our only title sponsor, and they've been terrific. We appreciate them very much. And we had the idea with that. It's like, you know, there's scoreboard shows across the state, but they're always talking about a whole bunch of scores. And it's like, do you really care about what's happening with Liberal? Do you really care what's happening with Frontenac if you're in North Central Kansas? So we decided to have our local scoreboard show where we focus on our teams that you care about, the players, the coaches, and we talk to coaches after the game with the scoreboard show, and we update some standings, and we give you wraps of our games, and we can analyze some things. So we thought that's what people would rather have instead of just somebody reading a whole bunch of scores from across the state, and you don't even know where some of these towns are. And so State Farm Insurance was on board from the very beginning and becoming our title sponsor of that show. So we appreciate State Farm Insurance. We appreciate Cunningham Telephone Cable, and all our sponsors make everything possible. But I want to give a shout out to those two in particular because we have concluded the Express now for the season and our local high school school board show because of everything we're trying to cover this week with all the high school football playoff games on a Thursday and a Friday and tons of volleyball with three different schools. A lot of things go into putting these games on the radio. We're obviously we prepare, we grab tons of research, we're in front of a computer most of the day for a few days at least, and we also are selling sponsorships, getting advertisers for the matches so that we can carry them on the air, because we're not a nonprofit, we are a business, so we have sponsorships as well, and the sponsors and advertisers make it allow us to, you know, be able to pay for hotel rooms, to go to state competitions, to have vehicles and gas and this and that, so we can get to the games and back and have the equipment to broadcast and then to pay for the phone line fees or whatever else we might have in our cell phones. So we greatly appreciate all the support, both in the public and the community, but also all of those advertisers making it worthwhile so that we could carry all the volleyball that we have coming up and all the football as well. And then also a shout out to all of the cross country runners that'll be competing at state cross country coming up this weekend as well. Best of luck to them. Somebody joked with me. They said, when are you going to do play-by-play cross country? I'm like, you're going to have, I'll tell you when that's going to happen. When I get cloned, when you can make a second Wade and you can make a second Dusty, then we can start doing even more play-by-play. But until that happens, we are limited to what we do. I don't know how you would call play-by-play of cross country. I don't know how you really do play-by-play on the radio of track and field. Somebody said, how do you do wrestling? I said, wrestling can be done. It's been done. A lot of people do play-by-play wrestling on the radio. I wouldn't be great at it. I don't know wrestling as well as I do basketball. But there are some people that told me, how do you do volleyball play-by-play? And I'm like, it's not that hard, I don't think. It's so fast. It's so quick. There's always something going. You just got to learn the terminology, and then you got to be quick to articulate it. That's the key with volleyball, is it's bang, 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 bang. You know, basketball sometimes is bang, bang, bang. Sometimes it's a little bit more stagnant. Football, you got plenty of time to reset between plays. Baseball is, honestly, baseball, people have asked me, what's the toughest sport to call on the radio? I think hockey would be extremely hard. because of all trying to see that little tiny puck on the ice, and then all these names that are really hard to pronounce from all these different countries that play here in the U.S. I have a gigantic appreciation for the play-by-play hockey announcers, radio and TV. They're absolutely fantastic. The toughest sport for me that I've done, you know, basketball to me is fairly easy in regards to putting it together and everything else. It takes care of itself. Volleyball is maybe the most exciting one to do, especially at state. Football is a little bit more of pace. Baseball is the toughest because baseball, we have less information when we do play-by-play of baseball than other sports. And baseball, there is so much dead time. And there is no pitch clock in high school baseball or Legion baseball. So when I've done baseball, that is the toughest one. And if you're by yourself, it makes it even tougher. So you're like talking to yourself, trying to share stories and filling the airwaves without, you know, and there's times you got to let it breathe and so forth and so on. So, you know, baseball is a lot less action to call, but there's a lot more time to fill. Whereas volleyball and basketball just kind of takes care of itself with all the action. And then football works pretty good. Football is a great one to have a color analyst. Like when we have Todd Clover with us, either for Dusty or me, football is a great one to have a color analyst with. Baseball is too. So just kind of a rundown of what it's like play by play with sports and everything else. But there's a lot that goes behind the scenes, just like with any other business. And same thing applies to our sports ticket show. We just don't come on here and talk sports. We got all things put together, different things that we want to hit. I usually put that together the night before, and then we're ready to roar and roll the very next day. Big thank you to Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. They are your home for fast, friendly auto repair, and they are the sponsor of the sports ticket. For the latest local sports information, visit nckssports.com. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.